Hey there. I thought it was about time to share my testimony about how God saved me from a very dark, kind of dangerous time in my life where I was incredibly depressed and I was self-medicating with boxed wine and I was hiding it from everyone very well. And it got so bad that I don't really go into it into my blog posts, but I'll tell you now, it was drastically affecting my body, where my liver was turning bruised, and it was itching and hurting, and other things that were happening to me, and I was hiding it. And I also drank to the point where I never blacked out, and but I did have to call my husband a couple times because I was afraid I was going to die of alcohol poisoning. And by the grace of God, I'm here today to share my brief testimony with you. But I just want to let you know that even though I didn't go through the gruesome details of exactly how bad it got, just want you to know that you do not have to clean yourself up to come to Christ. Christ never left you. He's right there with you right now. He's in your trench. He's right there. You don't have to ask him to come in or invite him to come in. He's there. You may want to ask him for help. You may want to ask him to help you get out of that trench. But for me, I personally think that we do indeed have to hit rock bottom to get over ourselves, get out of our way, and to invite God into our problems. But he's right there right now, just waiting for you to ask him. And you're not alone, and you never were alone. You're never gonna be alone. He loves you, even if you don't love him. So I'm gonna share with you my testimony, and I hope that it finds you well, and I hope that if you are struggling in any way, that he brings you peace and relief and healing and a regenerated heart. Each of us have our own reasons for seeking more. Some of us are seeking to be healed, others to be heard, some to feel, and some to stop feeling. I wanted time to rewind. When my dad died on Christmas 4 years ago, it wasn't planned. Death rarely ever is. I had just spoken to him on the phone. We had just left my in-laws' Christmas party. We had stopped through some neighborhoods to show our kids some lights on the way home. I called my parents to say hello and check in with them on how their Christmas was going. They were watching The Sound of Music and snuggled and cozy for a warm, comfy night. We talked all the way home. I had to let them go when we pulled into the driveway so we could carry the kids inside. They were 3 and 2. We got our youngest in bed, and the oldest, our daughter, wanted a snack. I sat down on the couch with a bowl of crackers and turned on a cartoon. My phone rings. It's my mom. She was in a panic. She told me she had to call the ambulance for Dad, and she couldn't get a hold of my sister to tell her. She needed me to come as soon as I could. He had stopped breathing. I told my husband that I had to go right away. He thought that it would be just like every time. Dad would go into the hospital and come back out a few days later. That wasn't the case. I got to my mom's after the ambulance did. The EMTs were quiet. It was like they were afraid to say something. I saw my dad on the stretcher, lifeless. My heart fell into the pit of my stomach. They were trying to find the easiest way to get the stretcher out of the house, but did not have enough people to do it, as my dad was a hefty man. I jumped in, and I helped them maneuver the stretcher, with my father in it, out into the snow. This wasn't the greatest place to do it. It was because we had just gotten a lot of snow, and their dogs used that part of the yard as their bathroom. In a span of 30 minutes, I went from sitting on a warm couch with my 3-year-old eating crackers to helping strangers carry my lifeless father through dog poop and snow as fast as we could. We were trying to save what was left of his life. I bent down and I kissed his forehead, and it was then that I knew he was gone. I'm still grateful for our last conversation. I got to tell him I loved him before we hung up. Life changes, and it changes fast. I sought a band-aid to cover a wound that I could not heal. The devil, honestly, saw that as an opportunity to wedge his way into my world with a promise and relief via alcohol. It started with a few glasses of wine. After all, I earned it, right? I cleaned my house all day, I took care of my kids all day, I was going through a hard time, right? I made meals all day for my husband and my kids, I made sure everybody was well fed, watered, pampered, and happy. At night, I would reward myself with a glass of wine. The relaxing, buzzing feeling made me feel accomplished. I would kick my feet up and watch some TV and tell myself, ah, this is the life. But was it? Day after day, I would go through the motions of my life, and I would look forward to that sweet relief at night. My family was taken care of. I would head to my fridge, grab my box of wine, and pour me a glass. And after a while, a glass just wouldn't do. I needed 2 glasses to make me feel the sweet relief I used to feel with just one. This progressed for years. At times, I would feel so lonely and hurting that I would sit on the floor of my basement in silence and drink myself into a stupor. Oh, how the devil must have been smiling. He had told me lie after lie, and I had swallowed up each and every one of them. I sat on the floor of my basement while my family slept peacefully in their beds, and no one knew I was a wreck. I hid my torment well. No one suspects the jolly mom who smiles and laughs all day, the one whose hair is always done and makeup is always on. No one suspects the woman who makes meal after meal and keeps a nice clean home and has an open ear for everyone. No one thinks of people that are as a tormented at night by the lies and mocking of the devil and his box of wine. But what started as a harmless relief had quickly turned into a disease. Just as with the first lie spoken to Eve, "You would not surely die," the devil, he whispered to me. In Genesis 3, the temptation and fall of man, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from all the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is the midst of the garden, God had said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in this day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So the enemy whispered to me in my darkest hours, saying, "I deserve this wine as a treat. After a long day, I would smile and nod and pour my glass after glass after glass. I was a wine mom. We see the propaganda everywhere now, from gifts of women drinking out of massive wine glasses to cute shirts to wine bottles built in wine glasses. I have learned to pull away from anything this world is trying to push on us. I was a closet wine mom for years. I sat in darkness, crying myself a lot of nights, all by myself, just crying in the basement. Sometimes I had drank too much. I was actually unsure if I was going to live. I felt like I was going to die. Other nights, I would find myself trying to remember how to walk up my own stairs. All the while, the enemy sat smug, happy his plan was working. I used to fear running out of wine. I used to plan my glasses to the last drop to last me that whole week. I needed my me time, and I was no longer in control. The alcohol was. The enemy was. I was depressed, and I didn't even know it. I was self-medicating with wine, but guess what? It didn't work. I still had my empty hole nagging at me. The devil loves to talk us into things, then once he has us trapped, he likes to flip the tables on us and torture us with the very same behavior he talked us into. But you know what? He didn't win, and he won't win. In John chapter 16, verse 33, the English Standard Version, it says, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." We are not alone in our trials, just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not alone in the fire. God was not there to put out the fire, but to protect them while they were in the fire, as he can protect us if we ask him to. Just as in the Bible story with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I was not alone. When I look back, Jesus was there. I was never alone. The devil would tell me I was. He blinded me from seeing my Heavenly Father's presence, from feeling God's protective arms around me. His daughter, he was pulling for me, cheering me on, fanning away the fog. I see now he was there the whole time. God is more than a bumper sticker. He is more than a song on a radio. He is more than pictures we share on social media. He is more than our human little minds can comprehend. He is indeed the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace, as stated in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. He has been wonderful to me. He has counseled me. He has been mightier than the devil. He is my Everlasting Father and continues to hold on to me, and he is the Prince of Peace, for he has brought me peace. I bet you're wondering how I went from drinking a box of wine a week to not a drop and not even looking back. Well, one afternoon, my empty hole and I were sitting at my coffee table. My husband was at work, my kids were napping, and I sat in my house, quiet, in front of my laptop. I had been feeling this thirst inside of me, this thirst I had been trying to quench with any earthly thing I could. As if out of nowhere, I just lifted my hands and typed out, "Free Bible studies." A huge list of Bible studies appeared before me. Where should I begin? I applied to all of them, closed my laptop, and went to pour myself a glass of wine. 7 months later, a man appeared in my yard. He approached my husband, who was working in the yard, and he immediately thought, "Oh great, what is this person gonna try to sell me now?" The man asked if he had ordered some Bible studies, and my husband said, "Nope." Then the man said, "Well, it looks like your wife may have." My husband said that sounds about right. The man left a folder along with some DVDs and some Bible studies and just left. My husband brought them into the house and sat them on the table. When he told me about them, I had actually almost forgot about them because 7 months had went by. I remember sitting at the same coffee table doing a Bible study about how wine is a mocker with a glass of wine in my hand. I was immediately convicted. What was I doing? I was studying my Bible about the mocking nature of wine while sipping on my wine. I knew that was my changing point. A V8 smacked to my forehead. In Proverbs 3, chapters 5 and 6, the English Standard Version, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your straight paths." You see, God's timing is everything. He knows when we are ready to listen. He has not abandoned you, just as He has not abandoned me. The devil wants you isolated, and he wants you dead. He doesn't want us sharing how great God is and how complete you will feel when you learn to die to yourself so you can fill up with His love. The devil wants us to worship ourselves, do whatever makes us happy on this earth. He doesn't want us bettering ourselves for the life we are promised after this earth. He wants us so distracted that we have no time to work on our relationship with God. He wants us so arrogant that we find nothing wrong with ourselves to the point we proclaim we don't need God. We don't need to be fixed. That's what the devil wants. I decided that day that I was going to make a change. I was going to put down the wine and I was going to feed on the Word of God. I prayed day and night that He would make my transition smooth. I ended up getting baptized on October 27th in 2018, and it was the happiest day of my life. The feeling of renewal, the recommitting of myself to God in a way that signified to me and everyone around me that the old me was dead. I am reborn. It has taken me a very long time to feel comfortable to share my testimony. The enemy had me so afraid of what others might think on various levels. I mean, why wouldn't he? Why would he want me to share how I freed myself from his grip, or rather, how God did? How I found the lamp to my feet, how I found the key to freedom, how I found the living water. Of course, he wanted me more concerned with my feelings. The more afraid I was to share, the more people suffering from the same thing will remain suffering. Share your testimonies. Let that light shine. Share the work the Lord has done in you and share it from the highest mountain. Free yourself. Be free. From the grace of God. Fear is nothing but a feeling that can be changed with perspective and for help from our lovingly Heavenly Father. Amen. God bless you. Now, my testimony, I wrote on my blog. You can find it at rainaswiftsage.com. And I actually reblogged it in January of 2020. So you can find it there. So it is in blog post. And I will also be reblogging it over at reflectingwithraina.com.